It's showtime.
Hey, welcome to Did You Watch Survivor Last Night? Welcome to Did You Watch Survivor Last Night? My name's
Jake. What the fuck was that?
I don't know. For some reason, I just... It was just a
hey, note. Welcome to Did You Watch Survivor Last Night? Welcome to Did You Watch Survivor Last Night?
Oh, did you want to do it? Because you're doing it perfectly.
Welcome to Did You Watch Survivor Last Night? I'm Jake Scheidel. This is a podcast about reality TV and friendship. I'm here with my best friend, Thomas Powell. Thomas, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm going to make fun of you now for fucking up the intro.
Yeah, I didn't do that. I'm such an idiot.
That's so funny.
It's even funnier because I'm illiterate. And also, I slipped into a wall one time. Even though everyone saw me walk into it, I pretend that it didn't happen.
You know that that's not... We literally just talked about this a few weeks ago. You know that's not the case. You know that's not what happened. I don't want to go over it again.
We don't need to relitigate this. The people know the truth.
The truth
is... No, we've both spoken our truths.
And we all know it. We all know the truth to be, I'm right. Okay. Hey, Thomas, my question for you this week is, did you watch Survivor Borneo last night?
Welcome to Did You Watch Survivor Last Night? A show about welcoming to Did You Watch Survivor Last Night. Yes, I did watch the show. I watched the program.
So this week's episode was called, Crack in the Alliance. Good name? Fine name, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's functional. That's the one thing I like about this season. At least you have an idea of what's going to happen.
Yeah, whets
the appetite, as opposed to just being a quote that someone said.
Yeah. Whereas with the quote titles, it's like, sometimes good, sometimes bad, but you're always wondering when it's going to come in.
Yeah, when they're going to say. It would actually be way funnier if the titles for this season were all quotes that people said.
Yeah.
And they said they said it like very clearly the producers had fed it to them.
Yeah. Hey, this week you should say there's a crack in the alliance.
Seems like there's an alliance. Seems like there's a real crack in the alliance, which I don't believe in. Wink.
Wink. Oh, is this one about butts? You know, like a
like butt a crack, yeah.
Very funny, very good. This episode aired on
Jake,
the second.
Do you think Sean eats ass?
Fuck no.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't. Although he does care a lot about people's feelings, apparently, so, maybe he's a generous lover. Who knows?
This episode aired August 2nd, 2000, which was 18 years and 10 days ago. August 2nd, 2000, how old would you have been on that date, Thomas? Because I was 9 years old on that date. August 2nd, 2000.
I was approaching 9 years old. I was unfortunately still 8. You know, somebody did have a birthday a little ways before then, though. Actually, March 18th, that's 2 days before your birthday, Jake, but, as far as I can tell, was still 38 years old. 38 years rolled. But you know what, though? He's 56 years old now. He's shown some real getting to that ripe old age. And just to clarify, this is that I'm talking about. So yes, anyway, long story short, I was still 8 years old.
Great. I'm so glad to hear that.
At the time, I would have said I was great years old.
And you know what? At the time, I would have laughed very hard at that. Yeah, we would have. I was like, did we know each other then? Yeah, dude.
Yeah,
what the fuck
we
am
did.
I thinking?
Idiot.
We knew each other for 2 whole years at this point. Not like today when we've known each other.
Well, not 2 whole years, but close.
Pretty close enough. close enough that we can say we've known each other for 2 years.
I was 7 when I started second grade, so it had been like a year.
Oh, somebody's a smarty. I was 8 years old when I started second grade. I was 8 years old when I finished first grade. What the fuck ever? Who gives a shit, man? Who cares how old anybody is? But for the record, I was 9 years old when this episode aired. Last week's episode was called something else, and it received 27.2 million viewers. Do you think this week it increased or decreased its viewership?
I think that this week's viewership was more than doubled to 69 million viewers.
I think even more than tripled, maybe. No, this week's episode did increase, but not by that many. Only by 0.2 million, approximately. It's got about 27.4 million viewers. Pretty good. Pretty good job, guys.
Yeah, good job, Survivor.
America. Good job, America.
Yeah, this was really it. This was really for all of us.
And
this is when we came together as a nation. It nice. Was like, in terms of like things that really brought us together as a nation, like number one, this, number two,
like
9/11?
I would put that at 3. I think probably the finale of this
episode. That's a good point.
Really, the finale of Survivor Borneo is number
Let's
one.
Let's say, like, every episode of Survivor Borneo, and then, like, then. Then, maybe, 9/11?
Well, you have to remember Survivor Season 2, The Australian Outback, because that was even more popular than this one.
That's a good point.
And then, maybe? And then? Because, you know, I don't think that Survivor was airing when 9/11 happened. So, you know, we didn't really have something to distract us from that.
That's a good point.
And that's really...
Yeah, we just had, like, sports or whatever.
Yeah. We still got sports.
President Bush threw out the first
Here's
pitch.
The thing.
You know what would have been... You know what would have really brought the country together after 9/11? If Jeff Probst had thrown out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium.
It really would have. Oh, man. How great would it have been if the finale of Survivor, The Australian Outback, happened?
Yeah, pretty great. And then, everyone would have loved it and no one would have been distracted.
No, sorry. I was going to say something else, but then I got distracted myself. If in the finale of any season of Survivor...
You could just see the Twin Towers exploding in the background.
Nope, not what I was going to say.
Oh, I hate this so much.
Not what I was going to say. What I was going to say was, how great would it be if at a finale of Survivor, Jeff Probst throws a baseball at the camera, and then Jeff Probst in New York catches a baseball, still staring at the camera, and he's like, hey, what's up, it's me, Jeff.
And the first plane hits his tower behind him.
At the same time, he catches the ball.
No! And it's not a plane, it's a jet ski. Oh, boy, I'm sorry, everyone.
Flight 93, more like jet ski 93. Okay, so at camp, it turns out that nobody was really a big fan of Jenna. They just talk a lot of shit about her.
She talked too much, apparently.
Yeah, you know, women. Why is everything I'm saying this week bad? And just bad all across the board.
This podcast is canceled in more ways than one.
Hell yeah. Wait, what do you mean?
It's like, it will stop going, and also it's canceled in, like, the way that people say on social media, because we're problematic.
Wait,
now.
Are you canceling it, like, we're not going to do the show anymore?
Well, I mean...
Do you not want to talk about David vs. Goliath? Mike White is in that season.
I do like that, but also... But also, we made too many 9/11 jokes and we've been canceled.
Okay, now we only are going to make 7/11
also,
jokes.
Also, there's only one way that we could get back in the good graces of America after this. And that's if Mike White was replaced.
Nope. Nope. That would not work. People love Mike White. Why would they want to be replaced? Thomas, can I tell you a quick story about Mike?
I'm sorry, I don't think I've ever seen Mike White wear the same, like, kind of dirty hat and bootcut jeans, and maybe there's a truck behind him. I don't know. Anyway, never seen him do that. Mike White was never on QVC.
He was on The Amazing Race, though, two times, and now he's on Survivor, and he was in School of Rock, and he created Enlightened, and he wrote School of Rock. So, I'm just saying, when it comes to Mike's, Mike White is up there as best Mike.
Well, wrote...
Nothing. He wrote literally nothing. He's never written a word.
He wrote Mike Rowe machines. He invented the toy.
He didn't do that.
That's not... Why are they named after him, then?
It's not. He's named after them.
All right, I like this fiction a lot better.
Okay. So, Jervis is surprised that he's not gone yet, and he's starting to suspect that there's an alliance. Oh, Jervis, do you think that there might be an alliance?
What is with these people?
I don't know.
How is Colleen the only one that knows what's happening?
I don't know, because she's my sister, and she's always been the smarter one of our siblings.
That's true.
She's not married yet, though. Yours is. That's why we didn't record on Sunday, because your sister was getting married.
Yep.
You know what?
Yours is going to be married soon, though.
You know what I realized this week? I think my sister is getting married the weekend after David vs. Goliath premieres.
Oh, boy.
We'll figure something out.
How's she going to follow that?
I don't know. I don't know. Sean says he's never been asked to join an alliance, so there can't be one. Sean's so stupid. Yeah.
That's amazing. It's like, well, they didn't invite me, so clearly it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I really wish that Sean, and maybe this will happen because it would be the best possible thing that could happen, Sean goes through voting alphabetically and votes for himself because he has to.
Unfortunately, that is against the rules. You're not allowed to vote for yourself.
Oh, that would own.
I know. That's why so many people in, well, clearly later seasons are like, look, you guys, if you just want to vote me out, I'm not going to be mad about it. And I mean, I think I said so many times, it's happened a handful of times.
So they have basically one of the same ground rules that the board game Cash and Guns has, where literally the first rule is you cannot point the gun at yourself.
I forgot about that game. That game is so fun.
It is fun.
When I'm home in a month, do you or your roommate own that game?
We don't, but our good friend Ethan does.
I knew Ethan would. Okay, well, we'll have a day before that wedding, so we should probably play that game.
Sure.
Well, also...
This is good podcasting right here.
Yeah. Hey, and that wedding doesn't start till 5 o'clock, so...
Plenty of time.
Plenty of time on that Sunday.
You can get in and out of that game in less than an hour.
Oh, yeah. All right, I'm coming over at noon or something.
And they just recently put it back into print, so you should buy it.
Put it back into prints. Another Valentine's Day, not getting
That would be when they take it out of print. They put it into prints, which means they put it in a grave.
That's sad. You made it sad. I was trying to make it sexy. Like necrophilia is.
Yeah, like how you were trying to make 9/11 sexy when we were talking about it.
Exactly. Exactly the same thing. He says if he'd known that they were going to copy him... Oh, this is Sean we're talking about again. How is it every note we get distracted on? Sean says that if he knew that they were going to copy him on the last vote, he wouldn't have voted for Jenna. Well, hey, dummy, that's why you don't announce your votes. You notice how no one else is announcing their vote before the vote?
Yeah, it's almost like it's terrible strategy.
Yeah. Well, it really creates a new dynamic to the game. No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Fucking hidden immunity
idol.
He's
disrupting playing Survivor.
Honestly. Colleen says the point of the game is to strategize and eliminate people. Why has Colleen never come back? Rich says it is naive to think there's any space left to plot. That's called a subtweet before Twitter existed.
That's absolutely... Was he referring specifically to, like, her, Sean, and Jervis?
Yeah, I think so.
Because there was room for other people to plot.
Such as Sue, who says, my strategy all along has been to play the dumb redneck because everybody will talk to them, even Rich. She's doing great. I love Sue.
Sue's a really good player. She's managing to outplay Rich, and I'm sure that I'm excited for when she wins from doing that.
Because she's doing
someone
such a
won't
good
make
job.
A really dumb move for their own game.
She approaches Kelly, and they come up with a plan to take out Rich at the end. I believe that is what you were referring to when you said that some people could still scheme.
Yes, that's exactly what I was referring to.
Sue says he's a snake, but I gotta thank him for getting our crap together. Great quote. Love, Sue. She trusts no one except Kelly, and Kelly feels the same way about Sue. It's mutual, as they say.
Man, the dramatic irony here was pretty fucking rough.
Yes.
Of her being like, my best friend died a long time ago, and I feel like Kelly is one of the people I'm closest to since then.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Did she say how long it had been?
It had been like 20 years.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. That's... I wish... Maybe in future episodes we'll hear more about that, but I would love to know more about... I mean, she probably doesn't want to talk a ton about it, but yeah, that's...
No, I wouldn't either.
Rich, unlike Sue, trusts everyone in his alliance. Then they go get tree mail, and there's a cigar in tree mail because Jervis's son was born.
Whoa! That's cute.
That's very nice. Also, we learned that Jervis's girlfriend's name is Carmella, who is the SmackDown Women's Champion.
Yeah.
So proud of Carmella. I love Carmella so much. I'm so excited for SummerSlam, mostly just to see Carmella beat Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. It's great. I love Carmella.
I don't think she's going over, but that's just me.
Okay. I mean... It would be pretty cool though to see Carmella fucking win again.
They're not gonna have the fuck, like, she's held the belt long enough that they're gonna put it on somebody else.
Yeah.
And that somebody else is Becky Lynch.
I know they're going to, but like,
and also it's good that they're doing that.
Yeah, but what if Carmella continued to be champion?
I think it would wear thin.
You might be right. But like, I love her.
Sure.
So, and I think she's great. And, that's the end of Wrestling Corner. Okay, Rudy says he'll support an abortion, but doesn't like children out of wedlock. Rudy!
Wait, what?
Did you miss this part?
No, I saw that. I just was parsing it in my head again.
Yeah, it's weird, right? I had to rewind it to make sure I got the quote right. He says he'll support an abortion, but he does not like the idea of children out of wedlock.
I guess if you were really committed to the idea of not having children out of wedlock, then you would support abortion.
I suppose.
Like, very, very committed to it.
Yeah. I mean...
It's just that's not usually a...
That's not usually
a combination.
The case, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think...
What a fascinating person.
He is, right? Man... You know how we were talking earlier about how Rudy has probably passed on since this aired, because it was almost 20 years ago and he was already old, but then we learned that, no, he's still kicking it?
Oh, did he actually die?
No, but now I'm really worried that he's going to before the episode he gets voted out happens.
No, like he's going to die on the show?
No, like he's going to die in the next 2 weeks. I'm sure we would have heard about him being in poor health, but... I mean, what if...
I mean, would we have?
I mean, I would have, because I, like, go to the Survivor Reddit more often than I should, but...
Okay.
Okay, reward challenge. The reward is one slice of pizza and one phone call. Great. Great reward.
Which is half of what they give you as a reward for being arrested.
Yeah. Congratulations on being arrested. Here's your reward. A slice of pizza. But it's New York style. Ugh, am I right? Chicago, what's up?
Yeah, it'd be way better. Yeah, nothing that would make you feel better going into a prison cell than eating, like, a fucking giant slice of Chicago-style pizza than having, like farting the whole time afterwards.
Hey, Chicago pizza is great.
I think it's good. It's just, like,
no,
also...
it's great. Thomas, it's great. Thomas,
also,
it's great.
Also, what happens
Thomas,
to
Chicago
you afterwards
pizza
is not
great.
Good.
Oh, you get hungry and eat more Chicago-style pizza because it's so great? I agree.
Yeah, and then you die.
Well, yeah, everybody dies, except for Rudy, apparently.
Then you shit yourself to death.
So the reward challenge is racing through a structure over some water. There's four segments or so. First four people to make it to the second segment move on, and so on and so forth, until there's only one left. Comes down to Rich and Jervis, and Rich gives the win to Jervis. Because Jeff points out, like, you're not allowed to push each other off the structure. It's like, then what is this challenge? But they like, get to the final segment at the exact same time, and Rich is just kind of like, hey, you just had a son. Go ahead. When he gets the pizza, he shares a bite with everybody. That's very nice of him.
It was very, very unsanitary, but also very nice.
I mean, have you seen the show? They all got staph infection in 3 days.
That's true.
I don't think sanitation is really the priority at this point in the game. Back at camp, Rudy says, 10 more days, then it's over, and I'll never see these people again. You're right, Rudy. You'll never be cast on All Stars. It's a spoiler alert for a show that happens 4 years after this one.
Also, they didn't have a reunion show for this, did they?
They did. They did, actually.
Oh, so he was wrong about that, too.
Yeah. Jervis calls Carmella SmackDown champion, and she says, I can't believe there's only 11 days left and you're still there. Pretty confident about that, Carmella. Kelly.
Yeah, he's only 11 days from retirement.
Kelly verbalizes the whole show yet again by saying, it's not about surviving the elements, it's about surviving yourself. What are you
same
doing?
Thing same thing I've same always, thing been, I've always doing. Been doing, surviving in myself.
I love it. She is not interested in being part of the Alliance any longer, but wants Rich to think that she still is. Then she says, do I let Rich do whatever he wants, or do I try to beat him at his own damn game? Man, is it any surprise that these two ended up being the final two? At the Immunity Challenge, it's a big fire-making competition. Okay. Rich wins the whole thing. Good job, Rich. He won the fire-making competition.
He, like, dances or whatever.
Yeah, good for him. Colleen and Jervis back at camp joke about being the next two to go. Jervis wants to talk to
Kelly. Sean's like, no.
Yeah.
There's no alliance.
Why would there be an alliance?
Sean is the guy in the slasher flick where everyone else knows what's up, and he's like, there's no such thing as ghosts, or whatever, and then, like, gets stabbed to death.
Oh, a slasher flick such... Let me try that again. A slasher flick such as The Scorned?
What is that?
Oh, we'll get into it. Kelly... Nope. Jervis wants to talk to Kelly about voting with him and Sean at the next tribal council. Richard is catching on, though, and says to Sue about Kelly, I think she's got more going on with them than she is letting on. Okay, let's get into these wildlife shots before we talk about how fucking stupid everybody in this group is. So we got a clownfish, we got what looked like an albatross, and then also there was a skink. You know what a skink is?
Yeah, it's a lizard.
Yeah, it's a really cool lizard. There are over 1,500 types of skinks, making it one of the world's most diverse types of lizards. They have an appearance of a true lizard, but most species have no pronounced neck. Some of them have no legs, and those that do have very small legs. This is such a fucking stupid-looking animal.
Dumb animal.
They have... long tails that they can remove if it is grabbed by a predator. Then they can regrow their tail. but it will not be perfect. No surprise there. They range in size between 3 and 14 inches. Ooh, here's a fun fact about a skink. They have green blood. Isn't that neat?
Every single, like, I feel like I'm, like, every single fact is just taking another left turn.
Right? This is not super surprising. They spend a lot of time underground to avoid predators. They use their tongue to smell, like a lizard generally does. They corner their prey or chase it down and swallow it whole. And finally, they eat bugs and some small rodents. It's great. I love a skink.
Love me a skink.
I would have looked up exactly what type of skink it was, but again, there's over 1,500 types of skinks, so...
Need me a skink like that.
Hell yeah. I want a skink with short legs and a long tail. That's a recycled joke from like 100 episodes ago. At Tribal Council, Jeff asks about the alliance again, and Sue says, America is an alliance. Church is an alliance. Yeah, there's an alliance. This is just a chess game. That is a paraphrase, but you get the idea. And then when Jeff tells Rich that there's an alliance, he just goes, oh, is there? And he plays very coy. Smart guy. Taj Mahri. TJ Mahri? Taj Mahri. Who's smart guy? Thomas, who played smart guy?
Clearly it wasn't you. Boom. Classic. Classic burn.
Good one. You really got me on that one.
Yeah, also, it was Taj Mahri.
Thank you. Who's TJ Mahri, then? Just Taj Mahri with one letter missing?
Probably just Taj Mahri.
Okay. So they vote. Sean gets 2 votes, and Jervis gets the rest of the votes. Which means that Jervis voted for Sean after coming up to Kelly and being like, do you want to vote with me and Sean? That's just... Come on.
Yeah, I don't really know what he was going for.
I don't either.
I don't think he knew what he was doing either.
Yeah.
He didn't have a lot of options.
Yeah, true. So Jervis was on that show also with Jenna, where they got a bunch of reality stars and filmed a horror movie on E!
The
film was called The Scorned. He also had the longest gap between appearances on Survivor with 13 years until Kelly came back on Second Chances. Jervis came back for Blood vs. Water, the first Blood vs. Water, with his niece, who said, shut the fuck up, Brad Culpepper, right?
I didn't watch this season, but this sounds like something that would have happened. It was something good. I'd like to say to him.
Oh, you should look that clip up on YouTube. Anyway, that's what Jervis has been up to. Oh, and also he owns a cigar lounge in New Jersey, according to the Survivor Wiki. Whatever. Seems to be doing
it. Ties in nicely with this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, challenge chunk. They did a challenge where the last place team was sent directly to Redemption Island. That team was CT and Veronica. And some other shit happened too, but I was watching it while I was falling asleep, so I'm surprised that I even remembered that that happened. Okay.
Was there an elimination?
Nope. They just went straight to Redemption.
God, this show sucks.
I know, right? It's... They keep saying this season is the end of an era or whatever, which means either any of the mainstays are retiring, which would be great, or they'll just get back to, like, some basic shit. Not every episode needs a twist. You know?
Yeah, like, sometimes it's nice to have the formula every episode.
Yeah, formula's good. Formula is what makes shows work. Look at Survivor.
How you keep people hooked.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, in my notes, we've still got the hashtag The Miz on Survivor, but we have also been talking about hashtag Reboot Next. So that's a pretty good time. Reboot Next. Which
maybe The Miz hosts Next. Who knows?
Oh, shit. The Miz hosts the reboot of Next. That's very long for a hashtag. Maybe just Reboot Next should be the hashtag. Reboot Next.
MTV would absolutely reboot Next, by the way.
I'm surprised
this is probably the most attainable thing we've ever
right?
gone after.
Right?
It cost them like $4 to make that show, and it's like been long enough that they can probably get some nostalgia.
Oh, absolutely.
Off of it.
Look, 90s nostalgia is over. It's all about 2000s nostalgia now. I will say, I think other than Next being rebooted, because making a whole show is probably difficult, but other than that, I think Fig Tales on the Challenge was probably our most attainable, because
that was pretty attainable.
Both Figgy and TJ were both like, yeah, I'm into it. On the old Twitter.com, great website.
Just gotta get Tails on board.
Hell yeah, he's not on Twitter somehow. Probably because he's too fucking stoned all the time. Oh, I will say, Figgy did like one of my tweets the other day, because she posted something from, I don't know, there was some reality show event where they got a bunch of reality stars together to hang out. Anyway, she and Brett and Cole and Jay all posed in front of, like, I don't know, some, like, parking garage sign, but it was, like, segmented into heroes versus villains, or heroes and villains, and Brett and Jay stood on the hero side, and I responded to her tweet and was like, no, I'm never going to forgive Jay for voting out Michaela. He will be a villain until he dies. And Figgy liked that tweet. So, just saying. You can follow us on Twitter, DYWSLN. Is that Are You the One starts tomorrow, Season 7, Season of Fate, I believe it is called. So I'll probably be on that tweeting at some point in this next week when I finally watch that episode. Or you can just follow my regular person Twitter, Jake Shadell. Oop, I almost called it my own. The show's Twitter as my own. Anyway, Thomas, what's your Twitter?
Oh my god. Just follow me, Tom_not_Tom. The first Tom has an H in it. My handle is Full Metal Malkmus, and you should follow me. I'm good.
I agree. What's our boilerplate review again? I want to get that in one more time before the new season starts.
This is my favorite podcast. I like it better than all of the other podcasts. I give it a big thumbs up.
I want to see that on Apple Podcasts, because we don't have very many at this point. I just looked at it for the first time in several months, and we have not increased any number of reviews, so that would be cool. But also, if you don't feel like it, whatever, who cares?
Who does things?
We only have 3 more episodes of Borneo to talk about, I think.
Borneo.
You know Borneo?
Sir, Borneo.
Not even in a barn, on a barn. It was all on the roof of a barn. Okay, this is the point I would normally say, have a great summer, but Thomas, seeing as tomorrow is August 15th...
Oh, man!
I will say to you, my good friend, have a great birthday.
Folks, deuces, and also 7. I'm going to be 27 years old.
Woo! Finally, we'll be the same
one year closer to death.
The day we sweat out on the streets of a runaway American dream. At night we ride through mansions of glory and...
Oh, it's weird that the computer is slow. It sounds more like your computer is being extremely regular right now. Yeah, my butt is extremely regular. What about it? That's not even an insult. What, because I have one? Jake, I've got some bad news for you. You also have a butt.
Well, when did you let me in? I wanna be your friend. I wanna guard your dreams and visions. Just wrap your legs around these velvet rims. Strap your hands across my engine. And together we could break this trap
will run till we drop, and baby, we'll never go back. Walk with me out on the wire. Girl, I'm just a scared and lonely rider, and I gotta know how it feels. I wanna know if love is wild. I wanna know if love is real. Beyond the palace, enemy power drones scream down the boulevard. A girl's comb her hair in rear view mirrors. The boys try to look so hard. The amusement park rises bold and stark. Kids are huddled on the beach in the mist. Well, I wanna die with you, Wendy, on the streets tonight, in an everlasting kiss. Well, a highway's jammed with broken heroes on a last chance power drive. Everybody's out on the run tonight, but there ain't no place left to hide. And together we could live with sadness. I love you with all the madness in my soul. Someday, baby, I don't know when we're gonna get to that place that we really wanna go, and we'll walk in the sun. Dylan tramps like us. Baby, we were born